Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So it's my year of new beginnings. New beginnings in my walk with God, in my relationship, in my finances, in how much money I handle.
Yes.
Is that not part of it?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes. So we will try to dissociate money from finances. No, when you hear finance, it's money. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And when you hear money, it's increase. Abi? Is there another thing? When you hear money, increase. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And what a wonderful year it has been for me. And it only gets better. You people have to stop repeating what I say at times, because I'm talking about myself. And it's a month of faith.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And my faith is growing.
My faith is growing.
And getting stronger. Now, unlike others, when I was younger, I knew when I grew tall. And some of you wouldn't know. You just noticed that. Ah, this clothes is short. But for me, I knew. You know why? We had this couch in the house. I'll never forget it. Pink couch. All right? And at times, my aunts who used to stay with us used to misbehave. So I used to report them. So when I report them, my mom would trash them. So while she's rebuking or beating them, I'll go and hide behind that couch, all right? As though they don't know I was there. And so I'll measure. So I remember there was a time that I was really shorter than the couch. Do you understand? Really short. I couldn't see. It was a really small couch, but I was really short. And then I knew when I was getting close to the top, and I was very happy, all right? And then I knew when I could see above it. So I knew I was growing. But there are people who don't notice. Why am I saying that? We eat, right? Physical food. When you eat that beans, do you notice that immediately this ear begins to grow? You look at the mirror. Is that what happens? Of course not. But you know that your nose is not the way it was when you were a baby. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Even your head, it's grown bigger. All right? And the way you grow, everything grows in the same proportion.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So when you're eating, you might not see spontaneous growth. They say beans make you tall. You might doubt it. When you eat the beans, you measure, then you go and eat beans, then you come back again, like you even grow shorter. You might not see it immediately, but it is working. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
And very soon, you sleep, you wake up, you sleep, you wake up. And it's grown. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Same with the word of God that you listen to every Sunday. I said your faith is growing.
Yes.
You might not see it immediately. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
But it's a deposit. It is there. And the time you need it to manifest, it will manifest. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So my faith is strong. Yep, it is. It is. It is. Now, next week, we have our communion service. And the message next week will be strong. Fire. What are that nice words?
Brimstone.
Brimstone is not nice. Praise the Lord. So ensure that you come to church very expectant. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I noticed something, and I think you noticed too. Every Sunday, we give the flight instructions where PK comes and says exactly the same thing. Over and over again. Did you notice?
Yes.
Doing that for years. Did you notice? How many of you have entered a plane before? Not to look, but to travel. How many of you have seen a plane before? Okay. Just to be sure. And some of you have bought a flight before? It doesn't matter how frequently you enter a plane, you would always have that flight attendant come and give the flight instructions. Because there might be someone new there, and you might need to remember some basic things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Yeah. And so it doesn't matter how often you come to church, you should be prepared to listen to the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Did you hear PK's message last Sunday?
Yes.
when he talked about how that if you entered a plane and you heard that the pilot, that was his first unassisted flight, what would you do? And I was just laughing up there. I know some people say, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Let me calm down now. I think I'll probably join them. Because you want to use your faith, but when it's important, not the one you can avoid. And that's why they don't do it, right? They don't announce, ladies and gentlemen, good morning, welcome to this flight. Actually, this is our pilot's first time, so encourage him, encourage him. The encouragement they will see people leaving, please. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to talk about the spiritual man today. It's very simple, simple. You know, the things of God are simple. And the more you know something, the easier or the simpler you'll be able to explain that thing that you know. Do you know that?
Yes, Pastor.
When you can't explain it well, you don't know it. It doesn't matter how you try to bubble us. And I remember in school, the people are trying to explain an equation. Explain, explain, explain. And they get to a point and say, you might not understand it. Just leave it. And continue. They don't get it. If you understand something, you'll be able to explain it easily. That's a proof that you understand it. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
That's a proof. So have you seen professional chefs? How they cook, how they cut? It's easier, it's faster than some people here. Do you understand? Very fast. All right, so being spiritual is very simple. It's not hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That is proof that anything Jesus tells you to do or expects of you will be very simple. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So are you ready now?
Yes, Pastor.
There's a song in my heart. Jesus, you're so good. Jesus, you're so good. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do, you have done for me. What no man can do. Is that true in your life?
Yes.
Sing it. Jesus, you are so good. Jesus, you are so good. What no man can. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do. You have done for me what no man can do.
You have done.
One more time with all your heart, talk to the Lord. You can have your seat. He's so good, isn't he?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I hope you were worshiping.
Yes, Pastor.
And I hope you've not gotten too used to Jesus, too casual with him. Because he's the best. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So let's start from the beginning. talking about spiritual man. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Are you ready?
Yes.
Pay attention to everything. Every verse. I love the word of God. I'm excited about the word of God. Are you excited?
Yes.
Oh boy. I feel so sorry for people who don't have a fellowship with the word. So sorry. But the good thing is you can change. Praise the Lord. I mean, just seeing the word of God is so exciting. All right. Verse 1. Are you looking at this?
Yes, Pastor.
Please look. All right. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. And he said unto the woman, so you see, it wasn't strange. Animals could talk to Adam and Eve, right? He said unto the woman, yeah, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, God had told them they should not eat of every tree of the garden. All right? So now look at this serpent. He comes and he questions what God has said. Say, in my life, I will not question the word of God. That's what the Bible says. It says, don't say in your heart, we will go up to heaven and bring Christ down. Don't ask questions. It says the word is near you, in your mouth. Don't ask, so you mean I should just say it like that? No, he says the word is in your mouth. Say it. Don't ask questions. Don't ask how will it happen. The word is happening. Do you understand? That's how it will happen, because of the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So here you have Satan questioning what God has said. Now here he doesn't tell us it's Satan, but later on when you study, you realize that, oh, the serpent was being influenced by Satan, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So you see, he's very subtle. That's what the Bible says. You know, he doesn't say one thing. He was going somewhere. But he starts by generalizing it. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So let's say at home, your mom has beans, rice, yam prepared. And he said, take everything but not the yam. It's for my special guest. So Satan comes and says, did she say she should not take everything? Of course, she said you can take everything except one thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Did God say that? No. The only thing God said is, don't eat it. He didn't say, don't touch it. He had told Adam to take care of the garden. How do you take care of it without touching it? Of course you touch it. Just don't eat it. For example, you have sniper in your house, some of you. You eat the sniper, but do you touch it? Do you use it? You can shake it like this. Even though it's poisonous, you're not scared of it. You can touch it. But you shouldn't eat it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Someone says, by mistake, it entered my beans. In case you didn't know when you ate it, don't worry, you're fine. Yeah. All right? Okay. So you see, something has happened here. The woman has added her own. She's added her own instructions. And that's the problem. Most people add their own to what God has said. They complicate things, and they act as though it's complicated. Meanwhile, they complicated things. So, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. So, let's be fast now. I have a lot to say. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Oh, boy. How can God say something? And this serpent is so bold to say, God is lying. You shall not surely die. And people have not changed. I know this is an animal. But didn't they say man is an animal? People have not changed. No, you have that wise guy who will tell you, I know the Bible says this, but look at the spirit here. Same thing. They might not know. Have you heard of Peter? How he rebuked Jesus? And Jesus talked to Satan and said, get behind me, Satan. He knew it was Satan. Peter didn't even know. Peter, on his own, would not allow Satan to talk to him. Do you understand?
Yes,
they had gone around casting out devils. He wouldn't do that. He didn't even know. But yet, Jesus was saying the word of God concerning his life, and Peter was saying it should not be so. Same thing here. Jesus said, I will die. Satan said, no. Here, the woman said, if we eat of the tree, we will die. Satan said, no. Same Satan. Someone says, by speaking, I'm going to get it. Someone says, you'll not get it.
Same spirit.
All right, that's fine. Now Satan is talking. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good. And so he's trying to say God was trying to deceive them. Are you seeing that? Such audacity. Think about it. Satan says, should you eat of every tree? The woman says, we can, except one. The day we eat it, or we touch it, we will die. Satan said, you won't die. God knows the day you eat it, you'll be like him. You will know good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, I just keep wondering, how did she say all these things? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. So you see, the first thing, she touched it and nothing happened. Remember, she had said, God said, if you touch it, you die. So that's the first mistake. Now she touches it, nothing happened. And it says fruit, not apple, because I know some people have beef with apple. It's the fruit she took, not apple. I know some diagrams have, you know, apple. They say the woman ate apple. It's not apple. It's fruit. We don't know the fruit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It could be orange. She caught the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. He was there. So who think Adam went to work? That's when serpent waited for Adam to go to work. Then he's knocking. No, Adam was right there. That's why the Bible says he was not deceived, but woman was deceived. He knew what God had said. He knew this Satan was misbehaving. That's why God would punish them. If you were deceived, you should not be punished because you did not know. Are you in this place? If I gave you money to buy something, and someone came and said, how much do you have? 500 or 5,000 now. Or give me 1,000. You give them 1,000, they shake it like this, and 2,000 comes out. And they give it to you. It's okay, give me 2,000. You give them 2,000, shake it like this, 4,000 comes out. You begin to calculate. All right? So now you have extra 3,000. That's 8,000. So you give them everything. They say, hey, our hand. We need Fanta. We need energy. Let's go and buy. We'll just wait. We're coming. And they're gone. Now, how are you going to go back home and admit that you were a fool? When you come back home, of course, the person who sent you on an errand will not be happy. But can't really blame because you were deceived. Do you understand? You didn't steal the money. You were deceived. All right? Great. But Adam was not deceived. And the instruction was to him, not to his wife. So he was right there. That's why he deserved punishment. So someone says, what happened? When you see him, ask him. Praise the Lord. But I suspect it's love. All right. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were what? Open. So you notice the eyes were not open when she ate. Because the instruction was not to her. It was to Adam. It was Adam who told her the other part. Don't eat, don't touch. All right? All right. So when he ate it, the eyes of them both were what? Open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. Awesome. Verse 8. Are you following this?
Yes, Pastor.
Please don't lose me. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Please, you are listening to me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
You are following me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Is this not remarkable? They didn't say they heard the feet of the Lord God. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
That's not what they said. I mean, this is not even my message, but I just wanted to see this. They didn't hear the feet. If someone is walking, you hear the feet. He says they heard the voice. What does that mean? It meant that God was coming to them and he was proclaiming. He was speaking words. That's what he was saying. So God was probably saying, I am God, great and mighty. Talking. Amazing. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 9. Think about it. They thought to go and hide. God will not see them. Can you imagine? He made the trees. He made them. I And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you?
You see, he's playing along. Have you seen hide and seek before? This is where it started. He knew where they were. Do you understand? But then he just says, where are you? Where are you?
And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11. And he said, that's God talking, who told thee that thou wast naked? Now, this is an amazing question. He says, who told you?
Adam saw he was naked. When they ate of the fruit, they realized that they have been exposed. Do you understand?
All right. And this nakedness is not necessarily clothing. Because they had worn clothes and they still went to hide. So it's not necessarily clothing. They had left the presence of God. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. We talk about the garment of righteousness. They had left that. So it's not necessarily clothing because they were clothed here. All right?
Yes,
great. But now God asked him, who told you? Now, this gives an idea of God's expectations of Adam. He thought Adam ought to live his life based on what he was told only, not based on what he saw.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not based on what he felt. And he ought to respond to situations based on what he was told only. Even though by what he's seen, from what he's seen, he can react based on what he's seen. God says, no, 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 no. Even though you saw you were naked, wait until you are told you're naked. If I don't tell you're naked, you're not. Amazing. That was how God thought. So I said, don't I have eyes again? I can see my body is bent like this. They said it is scoliosis. God says, until I tell you it is not. He's the one who names.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That's what he's saying here. He says, who told you you're naked? You have to wait for me to say something first. If I've not said it, it's not. And if I've said it, it is so. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, Pastor.
This is from the beginning. God has been expecting Adam to live by his word. Not based on what he saw, not based on what he felt, not based on what other people were saying, based on his word. You wait until you hear from God. You wait. And if you have heard from God, that's the only thing you accept. Else he'd ask you, who told you? You are sick. Before you came to pray, who told you? Can't you see what I'm going through? I'm suffering. Who told you you're suffering? I know how I feel. You don't know everything in this world. Are you in this place?
Yes,
I always say, no matter how smart you are, with your eyes, you can't see the back of your head. That shows how limited you are with your own knowledge. So you have to wait for the one that can see everything to talk to you first. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now I'm feeling a swelling in my stomach. It's like tumor. Who told you? Even the doctor has not told you. You wait until God speaks. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Now you fast forward generations later. Go to Matthew 4. This one. No. You have someone talking to us and say, I'm healed. So who told you you are healed? You say you are healed. Who told you? God told me.
Yeah.
And it's more important than you.
Yes.
You might not like it. You might not like the way it sounds. But it's true.
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For teaching us how to serve God. All right, so generations after, look at this, verse 1. Then, have you been following me?
Yes, Pastor.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. You see, at times, you're being tempted and you could be led by the Spirit because he's training you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you have to win. Verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Obviously,
If you're not eating for 40 days, 40 nights, you'll be hungry for sure. Do you understand? And some of you, you can't fast for till 12 p.m. You have end of year fasting. You've never fasted once it's 12. You have drunk water. Say, so I cannot kill myself. I cannot kill myself. Look at the person you are following. Fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and you did not die. That means if you fast 40 days and 40 nights, you will not die. Praise the Lord. Someone says, that's my ulcer. You don't have ulcer. What is the matter? It's an amazing thing. Because you don't want to fast, you now claim ulcer. Are you that hungry? Fasting, people say, I'll fast. But you know, your ulcer. What does the ulcer look like? Oh yeah, tell us. Is he wearing lipstick? Tell us. You don't know. Just because you don't want to eat my ulcer, throw it away. You don't have ulcer. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of... Now, remember, the previous chapter, God had appeared. All right? And said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus knew for sure he was the son of God. Because God told him himself, you are my beloved son. I am pleased to be in you. Now, Satan comes and says, if you are the son of God, still questioning what God has said. That is the trademark of the devil. Always questioning the word of God. Always questioning the word. And you know the sad part? Some people accept it. At times you're on your own. And Satan brings a thought. A thought. Are you sure you are prospering? Are you sure you are making progress? Can't you see everything around you? It's the same spirit. The same spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can't you see your mates? Once you hear that, that is Satan. Because God will never compare you with someone else. That is Satan. Same spirit. Says, if you are the son of God, command these stones to me. No, think about it. Satan really thinks he's something. He really thinks so. Jesus is under no obligation to prove anything to Satan. Are you in this place? He's under no obligation. This is the same Jesus that later on will bring bread out of nothing in John 21. So it's not like he couldn't do it. But he's under no obligation to prove anything to Satan. He says, if you are the son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4. But he answered, that's Jesus, and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Aha. What is he saying? I live by what God has told me. Remember when God appeared to Adam at that garden, he said, who told you? You were naked. But God had told Jesus he was the son of God. And so when Satan comes and says, hey, if you're the son of God, do this. Jesus said, hey, I live by what God has told me.
Yes.
Not by what I do. Are you in this place?
Yes, yes.
So here you see Jesus living his life by every word that proceeds. So you wait until God has talked before you respond. And if God has said something, that is your response.
Yes.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
So let's look at something. It took me my spiritual man. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Just put this one in your mind, all right? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Ensure you are not sleeping. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's look at it together. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? So the things you say by the Spirit sound foolish to the natural man. So he's saying there are two types of people. There is the natural man, and there is a spiritual man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This seems very proud.
He says the spiritual man, because there is a spiritual man, judges everything. But nobody can judge him. That's pride, isn't it? Means I can judge everything, but he can't judge me. But that's what the Bible says. This is the marker for the spiritual man. We're talking about the spiritual man. He judges all things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So he doesn't just respond or react. He judges the situation first. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Doesn't just respond. Feels the pain. Doesn't say, my back has broken. He doesn't just respond. He's a spiritual man. He judges it first. Then he decides, this is the situation. This is my response. But the marker for a spiritual man is that he's not in a haste. He judges the situation first. And nobody can judge him based on his judgment. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's what the Bible is saying here. And is it true? Yes. Look at Jesus. Go to John 7 verse 24. Hope my mic is working perfectly. The people I'm talking to know themselves. Go to John 7 verse 24. Jesus is talking. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. He's saying when you want to judge, so he expects you to judge things. When you want to judge, he says, don't judge according to appearance. Don't say because this one looks quiet means she's quiet. Of course not. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Don't judge. Don't say because your eyes are looking red, it means your eyes are about to fall out. He says, judge righteous judgment. So it might appear right, doesn't mean it is right. Judge righteous judgment. Don't say my knees begin to swell like my grandmother's own. And that's how she died. How did you come to that conclusion? He says, don't judge according to appearance. Judge righteous judgment. The question now becomes, what's righteous? Right? What's the standard? If he says judge righteous judgment, what's the standard? Because anybody can say this is right. Right? So here he's not trying to encourage you to just judge anything anyhow. The people that just judge spooky judgments. When they want to confuse you, they start saying in the realm of the spirit, it is red. In the realm of the spirit, it is yellow. You can't trust what they are saying. But here he says, judge. Let's look at something. Go to John 8, next chapter, verse 15. Place.
Yes,
we are going somewhere. John 8 verse 15. Jesus is talking. He says, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. That's interesting. Isn't that contradictory? It's not. He says, you judge after the flesh. That means you judge according to what you see, according to what you hear, according to what you taste. He says, I judge no man. Verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. Now, there's a difference between judging people and judging things. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Someone can steal, and I can judge that what he did was wrong, but not judge him to go to hell, because there is grace and mercy. Do you understand that?
Yes, Pastor.
So here he's saying, if I judge, my judgment is true for a reason. He says, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. So see, if I'm going to judge a situation, I know it is correct because I'm not doing it by my own mind. My Father that sent me is with me. Go to John 5 verse 30. Let's just round it up. John 5 verse 30. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So I'm making progress. Let's read it together. Just be sure you're here. One, two, go. Stop. Who is this?
Jesus.
Put your phone on silent. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. Look at Jesus. He said, I don't just do things anyhow. I don't just respond anyhow. I don't just react anyhow. He says, of my own self. There are people that say, now I'll speak my mind. I'll speak my mind, though. I'll speak my mind. You see, when they are saying that, they're giving you one, you're about to be very nasty. Jesus is saying, I can of my own self do nothing. I don't just wake up and say, this is what I'm going to do. That's a spiritual man. He says, as I hear. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Remember, Satan had told him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. He's saying here, I can of my own self do nothing. I can't just command the stone to become bread. He says, as I hear, I judge. And God already told him, you are my beloved son. Indeed, I am well pleased. So he had already judged that situation. He says, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, that means righteous. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. This is how you judge. You judge according to God's will. And what is God's will? His word. That's how you judge. He says the spiritual man judges all things. He judges all things with the word of God. He doesn't just respond. That's a proof that he's a spiritual person. Your hair is falling off. Doesn't mean you have a disease. You don't just react. You don't just respond. You don't just start crying. No, you judge. What has God said? Until God tells you you have a disease, you don't have one. Full stop. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That's a spiritual man. So was Eve spiritual at that garden? Of course not. Immediately Satan talked. The Bible says she began to see the fruits. It was good to eat, to make one wise. She responded with haste. But that's not what you do. No matter who is bringing the information, no matter what you see, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You wait until you hear from God. And if God has spoken, you remain there, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just show you something as an addendum. Go to Romans 8. We are going to do some practice. Romans 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, praise the Lord,
hallelujah,
we are debtors, not to the flesh. What's the flesh? What you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you taste. He says, you are not owing the flesh to live after the flesh. You know what this means? It means that God is saying you are under no obligation to live your life based on what you see. That's what he's saying. You can see the spots on your face and can still stand and say, my face is clear. He's saying you are under no obligation. If you don't live your life based on what you see, nobody will punish you. You know, there are people that think that if I feel it, I must say it now so I can be honest. As though if they don't say it, someone will punish them. God is saying, you are not owing the flesh to live after the flesh. Because your life feels like this doesn't mean you should not go to work. Go to work. That's what he's saying here. He says, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. You wait until you are told. That's why you're a good soldier. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You wait until you are told.
You come and say, I have cancer, I'm about to die. I have 13 days to live.
Who told you? Who? Think about it. God was the one who put you here. And he told you to multiply. And he gave you long life. Without consulting him, you came and announced you're about to die. Who put you here? God. Didn't tell you about to die? No. Didn't tell you he's calling you home? No. That means you're usurping authority. You're doing your own thing now. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. You don't just announce to the world, I'm about to die. Pray for me. Why are you not? Why are they praying for you? You're about to die. If you're spiritual, you not live after the flesh. Let's finish in verse 13. Are you following me?
Yes,
Pastor. He says, for if you live after the flesh, what will happen?
Die.
There are no options. Listen, let me just manage it now. Let me manage it. No, he says, if you live after the flesh, you live according to that pain. Now your whole life revolves around that pain. You will die. It's a must. It's for sure. You will die. He says, but if you, through the Spirit, do, you know what mortify there means? Kill. He says, if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body. Oh, Ligrapako Saramande. You know what he's trying to say? He's saying that if you see something, you are not obligated to be stuck with that thing. You can kill it. That's what he's saying. You can kill it. You're not stuck. He says, through the spirit, you kill the deeds, the transactions of the body. That's the spiritual man. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You don't just respond. See, in your life, don't be in a haste. Calm down. Calm down. Let God be true, every man a liar. That is faith. This is faith we're talking about. The spiritual man is a man of faith. Are you in this place?
Yes,
you respond based on what God has said. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you draw a situation with the word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Rounding up. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So he's saying these people, they are brethren, but they are not spiritual. Because you have Christians that are not spiritual. They don't wait for God's word. They just shout. They just respond. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
They say, thieves are chasing our boss. Thieves are chasing our boss. The spiritual man will say, goodness and mercy is chasing me. Now, listen, I know that that sounds very somehow. Right? If thieves are chasing your boss, would you really say goodness and mercy? Except you know the thief is goodness. But listen, that's why you're spiritual, because you train yourself to respond against what the world will expect you, or how the world will expect you to respond. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
so he said, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for either though you are not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. Verse 3. Fast. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Remember, he told us the mark of a spiritual man is that he judges things. He doesn't just respond. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He judges the situation. And when he has judged the situation based on the word of God, nobody can judge him, because judging will mean you are judging the word of God to be false. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But the carnal man, look at it. He says he's envious. He's full of arguments and divisions. He's a babe. He's working as other men. Now, why would the spiritual man be like this? Because he knows what God has said in his word. Jesus commanded us to love. If you love someone, you'll not be envious of them. If you love someone, you'll not cause divisions in their life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the spiritual man doesn't just act. He controls his emotions. He controls his emotions with the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So it's simple. To be spiritual, you wait. You judge things by God's word. Are you in this place? You judge situations with the word of God. What has the word of God said? You don't just respond. It doesn't matter who is telling you, who your family might, your friends. You don't just respond. Yeah, dollar is increasing against the naira. That doesn't mean you will suffer. Are you in this place? Because the people that once they hear the dollar has increased, hey, their heart, they don't even do anything with dollars. They don't. But once they hear the dollar is rising, this economy is bad. Something bad is happening doesn't mean it's happening to you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
In situations like that, you remember what God has said. He said you will not see when the heat comes. He says you're like a tree planted by the waters. He admits the heat will come. He said you will not see it. So when heat is coming, don't complain. Don't want to say, I heard there is heat. I heard there is heat. It's very hot. No, he says the heat will come. But you will notice. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can that be your life?
Yes.
You will notice. So I hear there is fuel scarcity. I hear that's what's happening now. But it's not touching you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you a story. You know, there was fuel scarcity and price. Okay. Coincidentally, just before, I'm just trying to show you how I was using the word of God for my life. Just before it was announced, because I'm not even sure when it became clear that supposedly there is bad fuel in the market. I had filled up my tank. All right? So the fuel scarcity started. I didn't even know. We didn't have light. So I went and charged my phone with my car. The fuel was going. And I was cruising in AC, not knowing that there was fuel scarcity. Do you understand? For days. Up until, you know, one of my neighbors put something on our group that there's a neighbor who pumps water. We should thank him. Because even in, during this fuel scarcity, he's still pumping water. And I said, ah. And I was in the car when I read that comment. I said, oh, fuel scarcity. So I went and I Googled. All right. That was when I knew there was fuel scarcity. And that was like Thursday. So I went out. I saw cars queue. My first response, I shall not see when the heat is coming. First, throughout, for like a week or two, do you understand? I continue. I said, the time I'm ready to buy, there will be no queues. I can't imagine myself going around 6 a.m. to queue. For what? When I have things to do. So every time, kid you not, every time I saw the queue, I looked at my tank, I shall not see when the heat is coming. So the Sunday I was ready to go and buy, there was no queue. Yeah. Relax, it was more expensive. I remember after I bought it, I didn't want to talk to anybody anymore. But I filled the tank. Without queue. Are you in this place? I didn't feel it. I still put on my AC like the lady that I am, praise the Lord. So my point is this. Because they say something bad is happening, doesn't mean it's happening to you. Don't claim it. Are you in this place? There was darkness all over Egypt, but the tribe of Israel had light. They didn't say, there is darkness now. Let us charge. Let us charge. The darkness might come. No! They were the people of God. Are you in this place? They had light. So before you respond, ask yourself, who told me now that this is happening to me? Nobody. Even if someone told you, the one who is greater than all has not said anything. And I will stand with him. Are you in this place? Agree with God. Are you in this place? Agree with him. Agree with him. Agree with him. Agree with him. No matter how tough it might seem, agree with him. Stand with him. If he has not said it, don't go. Wait until he talks. And if he has said it, remain there. Who told you? Now that you have said to live a righteous life, tomorrow you do something wrong again. The people that live their life like that, they come to church 1 week, the next week, they're thinking, hey, God, please let this continue. Let this continue. This righteousness, let it continue. Hey, God, who is telling you you will do something wrong? Who is telling you that you would sin? The Bible calls you the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Do you understand that is your name? Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to him. It doesn't matter what he's reminding you. Reminding you how he's reminding you. Remember the other time. Tell him, shut up. He leads me on the path of righteousness. Not because I am good, but for his name's sake. God is leading me. And as long as he's leading me, he will not lead me to do the wrong thing. That is my confidence. That's a spiritual man. Don't listen to Satan telling you, now you are praying, now, Abi, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Just give yourself 2 weeks. 2 weeks what? Goodness and mercy is following me. All the days. All the days. Not 2 weeks. Not 3 days. Oh, you know, some of you, your problem is you have listened to Satan too much. He comes and talks, you are set. If you are set, that's what will manifest. From today, no more. You are a consistent person. Because consistency is possible. And that is your life. So if Satan comes with his lies and his afflictions, what is the response of a spiritual man? Go to James 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. Ah. Oh. You know, when we hear submit yourself to God, they think it has to be, don't steal, don't kill, don't every time, Lord, Lord, Lord. No, he's saying submit to what God has said about you. Submit. You might not feel like it, but submit to what God has said. Remember, he said, you are not under obligation to live according to the flesh. Yes. Submit yourself to that. You might feel the pain. Stand up straight. yourself to God. Don't be proud. Don't say, I know my situation. God knows it more than you.
Yes.
Submit yourself to God. Then he says, resist the devil. You might have done something wrong. That's why you're not joining what you did wrong to the pain in your chest. The Bible says, submit yourself to God. Are you in this place?
Yes,
Satan has no authority to inflict you. Part of that submitting is you resist. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you really submit yourself to God, you resist the devil. When you are adamant to resist Satan, it means you are not submissive. It means you are doing your own thing. The first instruction he gives you when he says submit is to learn to vocalize resistance. Vocalize it. You feel a pain when you say, I'll talk to pastor. Before you talk to pastor, talk. Use your mouth. Resist the devil. Let me tell you something. Jesus taught us something new. No other prophet had taught. He taught us to cast out devils. No other prophet had done it. But this man comes, and there's a man displaying in the church. He says, get out. Amazingly, the demon checked out. Now he tells you, do it. Do it too. He says, when you do, he will run. Believe God. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Believe him. He says, when you do it, he will run. It is like 1 + 1 = 2. Submit, resist, Satan will run.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you did. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It doesn't matter the mistakes you made. Yes, you are going to go and climb ladder. They kept the ladder. They said, do not climb. You climbed it. You fell down. Your leg is paining you. But that's why there is grace. There is redemption. What would God do with your paining leg? Nothing. He needs that leg to preach the gospel. So he says what? Resist the devil. Say, Satan, take your pain out. Start walking. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Somebody might be. You must have. Sickness is for everybody now. Not me. Zero. You have to live your life with an ideal. There are people who live their lives without an ideal. And it shows. Did Jesus himself, did he get sick?
No.
If he did, would have been told.
Yes.
That is the one you're told to follow. Never fell sick. Here he tells you, resist the devil and he what?
No.
Go to 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Quick now. That spiritual man is a man that not talk. There are some of you who have been in church for years. You have never cast out. You have never resisted Satan. You are still whispering. You're alone in the room. You have neck pain. Devil. Devil. Out. Then look around in the room. Say, come out now. Come out. It's good. At least you are trying. But from today, with force. Out.
Yes,
cast out. Didn't mean ask out. He didn't say ask him out. Satan, what are you doing here? Yeah, go. You are still having a conversation. He says, remember, Satan is a rebellious spirit.
Yes.
He's rebellious. Jesus was the Son of God. He knew. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he knew. He didn't stop him from trying to kill him. Think about it. Jesus was life himself. He knew. He didn't stop it. He had no respect for Jesus. Do you know?
Yes,
Satan had no respect for Jesus. So don't think he will respect you. See, I'm telling you now, leave my leg. This leg is for God. You are still talking. Cast out, meaning that if he doesn't want to go, drag him out. Out. Move your leg. It's your leg. It doesn't belong to any other person. First of all, he says, be sober, be vigilant. That's why he says you're a spiritual man. You don't just respond. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, there are people who don't know they have an adversary. There's someone opposing you. It's true. It could be from the village, but see the chief, the devil. You adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may want. Devour. This one doesn't have mercy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, as a roaring lion, he's looking for opportunity to torment your life, to devour you, to finish you. Verse 9. He doesn't leave you without hope. Verse 9. He says, who what? Resist. Steadfast in the faith. He says, when he shows up, resist him. It doesn't matter if he's shouting.
something like a lion. Resist him. That's a lion that can't bite. As a roaring lion, meaning you go, rah, rah. The challenges will be like, it wants to eat you in the face. It's so close. Resist! He will run.
Yes.
No matter how close he is, no matter how scary it looks, when you resist, he will go. Let me tell you something. There are some of you are having issues with people. It could be business, your neighbor. They are so nasty to you. Nasty to you for no good reason. Start casting out devils. Not them. They are being influenced by a wicked spirit. And they don't even know it. Because why would anybody just hate you? Why would anybody try to make things tough for you in your compound? In this place, don't wait till you get home. Say, this demon of division, out! Go back, you see they'll be nice to you. Are you in this place?
Yes,
this one works 100%.
Yes.
There are things that might take other things. This one is just nasty to you for no good reason. In one corner, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till 2 o'clock. In one corner, you demon division, out! Go out back. See that person, they'll smile. I assure you.
Yes, Pastor.
He says when he receives the devil, he would flee. What if you're facing challenges that are so tough? Opposite to everything that you have been declaring in your life. If you're a spiritual man, your response should be according to the word of God. No matter how tough it seems. Go to Philippians 4 verse 6. You have a boss who always demeans you in the presence of other staffs. No matter what you do, demeans you. Cast out devils. Right in this place. In your bedroom. At least, that's one thing from Nollywood movies. They show that even in your house, you can provoke spirits. Cast out them. But leave those ones alone. Jesus, in Mark 7, told the woman, the Canaanite woman, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And he didn't go to the house. From where he was, once he said the devil was gone, the devil woke up one morning and he's out of the girl. So from where you are, demon, and it's gone.
Yes.
Learn it. Learn to cast out devils. Learn it though. Verse 6. If things are happening that are opposed to everything you have declared, the spiritual man will hear what God has said. He said, be careful for nothing. That means don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Hey, hey. When God says, don't worry. When God says, don't worry. I mean, if Larry tells me, don't worry, I look at him like this. But if God says, don't worry. It means it's settled. That's what it means. Look, this verse is right here for all of us. Free of charge. It says, be careful for nothing. You see your rent? Don't worry. They go prakasigadosha. Is it a good job? Look at it. Don't worry. Someone says, who told you not to worry? Look at it. Don't worry. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Tell God what you want. He says, don't worry. Is it your staff that are misbehaving? Don't worry. That's phase one. What's phase two? Go to James 1 verse 2. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says, my brethren, he's talking to us. Is he talking to you?
Yes, Pastor.
He didn't say outsiders. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. When someone dashes you money, is that what he said?
No.
When things are going well, is that what he said?
No.
I said, if something is happening that is totally opposite to everything you have confessed, you don't respond like others and get sad. You do what God has said you should do. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, the natural man, the spirit of God is foolishness to him. They just gave you the letter. They said, you're sacked. Woo! Glory to God. You know what that means? Oh, yeah. You need to leave one for the bigger one to come. You're on your own in the office. They say they are sacking. They just sacked the chief executive officer. Ha, ha, ha. You know what that means? Space for you. Space for you. You had better claim it. before an outsider who has no relation with the company comes and becomes that CEO. You've been there for 12 years. There's space. Don't say, the whole CEO, that means we are next. The God that told you to count it joy, didn't you know what he was saying? If he says count it joy, it means that it is working for you. That's what it means. He's not stupid. He will not tell you to count it joy when it's for your disadvantage. If he says count it all joy. All joy. Woo! All joy. They say the lecturer has been changed. That wicked and tough man. All joy. He says when you're counting your experience in life, they gave you money, 10,000 free of charge, joy. They gave you a good job, promotion, joy. You were sacked, joy. Everything is what? Because God has a plan for your life. That's phase two. Phase three, go to Galatians 4. Thank you. Galatians 4, verse 27. You love this one. Galatians 4, verse 27. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It says, for it is written. You know, at times in life, you look at where you are. You look at others. Because you don't have work. Begin to think, you know, measure. The way it's looking. Your fellow businessman that started with you, he's now traveling to Paris. Scandinavian countries. UK. He's bringing goods every week. All his store filled with all the goods. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Your friend, her account, she has been saving. Saving. She has like 1.2 million. You saw it. Your own account is almost barren. 27. It says, for it is written. So God has said something about that situation. He says, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. This is something. He says, you have a woman who has not given birth. God's instruction is what? Rejoice. I love it when God tells us things like this. The woman has not given birth. He didn't say, go and take concoctions and chemicals. He says, no, rejoice. Look at it. He says, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and shout. That's cry there. Thou that travelest not, that means that woman that has not brought forth a child. He says, for the desolate, the woman who is empty, had many more children than she which had an husband. This is a miracle. He's telling you what rejoicing can do. Rejoicing can bring forth a miracle. Now I'm going to explain this, then we'll close, because you've not gotten it yet. Let's start from the last part. Are you in this place?
Yes.
He says, for the desolate. What's desolate? Someone who is empty. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Had many more children than she which had. Meaning this empty woman doesn't have an husband. How did she get the children and many more than the one who had an husband? Firstly, she's even barren. Then she's not married. So how does she get more children than the one who has a husband? Naturally, does that make sense? Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Does it make sense?
No.
But he's telling you this is what rejoicing can do. You rejoice, phase one. You break forth and shout. You know what that means? It means you ask for space. They said your container, your own room, your shop is empty, your warehouse is empty. That means it's barren. You have someone else who just signed contracts with LG. His shop is very full. Okay. In that barren place, you have enough space. He said, break forth and shout. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Someone says, since I moved to this house, I don't even have TV. I don't even have chair. Look at my sister's place. They have jacuzzi. You have enough space. God is saying that is enough space for a miracle. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, listen, this one is not comedy. Don't wait for someone to make you shout. He said, I'm just looking for something to make me happy. I'm not looking for something to make me... No! He says, this time you have work to do. Is it barren? Is it empty? Is there space? He says, all right, now it's time to break forth.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to give glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He says, Abraham was strong in faith, doing something, giving glory to God. Meaning that anytime he noticed it, he noticed. Anytime he noticed his body was old, he saw the wrinkles. Anytime he looked at his wife and he knew that she was old, then she was barren, he gave glory to God. He went, "Hey, glory! Hey, glory! Hey, glory!" You know why? Because then you know it will take a miracle. And that is where God gets involved. Are you in this place? Natural things, God is already a system and a law and a principle. God doesn't have to get involved. But when it is barren and it is empty, that is when God gets involved. So he's saying now, all you have to do is to rejoice. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So you have been speaking the word of God. And it's like opposite is happening. The opposite, he says, break forth. That's the spiritual man. Sit down, please. Thank you. That is faith. You don't shout because you got money. There is nothing faith about that. Are you in this place? That is faith. Faith is when you laugh, when there is nothing to laugh about aside the word of God. That is faith. That is faith. When you shout, when it is only the word of God that is causing you to shout. Every other thing you're seeing wants to crush you. He says, break forth and shout.
Lord.
That is faith. There was a time we had a year of laughter.
Yes.
You don't, laughter didn't mean that it's only good news, good news, good news at first. Bad news might come, but it doesn't change the year. It is the year of laughter. No matter the news, ha, 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 ha. That is faith. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You learn to do this. Break forth and shout.
Woo.
When you think about your empty barrel, woo! The Lord is my shepherd. And let God be true and every bank account a lie. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Break forth and shout. Are you empty? Are you burning? In case you are, look at the solution here. He says, rejoice. When you rejoice, there will be a miracle. He said the miracle will happen without natural comprehension.
Yes,
people will wait. If the lady was barren and she did not have a child, what would people expect? Let her get married first. Then after 3 years, then she gets a husband. That is a natural process. Are you in this place? But now we're saying that when you rejoice, all of those natural limitations removed. No need for a husband. He says, you will have many more children. Now, he's not talking about, of course, you know he's talking about marriage and all of that. He's talking about productivity.
Yeah.
So you can say, that my friend, his uncle is abroad. Two uncles abroad. That's why they're connecting me. I don't have anybody abroad. You have your voice. There is something you have. Oh, glory to God. There is something you have. That's what he's telling you here. So I don't have any relatives in a senator. You have your voice. You can shout. Someone says, which other evidence do you have that shouting works? Haven't you heard of the wall of Jericho?
Yeah.
What bulldozer would have brought down that wall? Nothing. No bulldozer. There was power in the shout.
Yes.
Power in the shout. You know, Jesus shouted after his resurrection. In Matthew 28, the Bible says he met those women coming from the tomb. They had gone there and the angel had said, he's not here. He's gone. And while they were going, Jesus comes and said, all hail. You know what hail means? Do you hail sitting down? You say, all hail. Hail. Is that what happens? Have you seen when the score go before? And we go, hey! That's hailing. So how do you think we have said all hail? All hail, no. Oh, okay, I have risen. Of course not. Hell, there is good news. You have your voice. One last thing. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We have ended. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You know, we learned something on Wednesday. PK shared it. How that Naaman complained. Right? when Elisha told him, go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan, he was annoyed. He was going. He said, the river's in my place. All right, are better than Jordan. Can't I go there? And his servant comes and said, Master, if he had told you to do something, you wouldn't have done it. This one is easy. Just go and take a bath. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. And he took the bath, and his body was clean completely. But it shows you the mindset of people when it's hard. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You think it is working. Okay, so let's use that. When you don't feel like shouting, it is hard to force your body to shout. Are you in this place?
Yes,
but then that's faith. So when he says, for that shout, you that you are barren, that's faith. He wants you to put your faith to work. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you know what? Faith never fails. Faith always produces results. So you might have grown up, someone tells you, you know, you're good for nothing. Don't be like that. You, this stupid boy, all your sisters and brothers, never repeated. You have repeated 3 times. In fact, I'll not pay for your jump. Pass for egg first. There are people like that. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
People like that. Grew up telling them, they will not choose you. Where are you from? On those states. They will not choose you. What are they looking for? Only negotiants. All right. Who is telling you? The secretary. Thank God is the secretary. And it's not God. Verse 9. He says, but you are. This is what God is telling you. This is the one you should pay attention to. This is the most important one.
Yes.
He says, but you are. Not you will be. Not just in case. Not what if. He says, but you are a chosen generation. You are God's choice. Hold on. If someone is choosing me, I would ask, how wealthy is that person? Let me know whether I am actually quality or I'm just affordable. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
If someone who earns 30K is choosing me, I'm just affordable. If someone who earns 5K is choosing me, I'm free of charge. If someone who can afford everything and anything and the things that he wants, he can create, is choosing me. It means I'm one of a kind.
Yes.
Now it says you are God's choice. That's how you should walk. Are you in this place? Everywhere you go, you carry yourself like God's choice. You carry yourself that way. You don't look down on yourself. You are God's choice. Someone says, who told you to act like that? You say, God told me, I'm his choice. You know, there are people when they go, I've ended. People, when you go for interviews, there are different types of people. Maybe you're writing an exam, or maybe you want to get a job in a federal government company. Are you in this place?
Yes,
I've ended. You want to get a job in a federal government parastatal. And there are different types of people. There are those that are there just by the grace of God. So they are the ones always running up and down before the exam. Have you heard anything? God help us. Have you heard anything? And they said, look at that guy, look at that guy. Have you heard? They are the ones that you know they got there by the special grace of God. All right? They are the ones that are intelligent. Do you understand? So, you know, they're waiting. They're the ones that their uncle is the DG. So, everything everybody is doing doesn't really concern them. They are just there to mark attendance. So, the ones that are there by the special grace of God are the ones now showing them. That guy, his uncle is teaching. Maybe we can talk to him. Maybe he can put our names. Are you this? Different types of people. There is a fourth kind. That no, even though they don't have an uncle that has promised them that they are going to submit their names. Are you in this place?
Yes,
they are not even struggling to be chosen. They are not even struggling anymore. Because the one that made the uncle and the parastatal has already told them. I told you, he didn't say you will be. He says, but you are a chosen generation. That's the fourth kind. It doesn't matter that special grace of God person. When I mean special grace of God, you know it's not really grace. It's just tension. Running up and down saying, you're not even bothered. Have you gotten something that we don't know? He said, I've gotten something. It's a more sure word. He says, but you are, I am a chosen generation. Meaning God's choice is on my head. It's on my life. When I enter that place, the chosen one has come. The chosen one has come. I remember David. I've ended. But let me say something about David. You know, the Bible says Samuel went to the house of Jesse. And Jesse called all his kids except David. He didn't call David. Samuel asked for all his boys. Jesse called all of them. David didn't come to his mind. David was in the bush. But when you are chosen, it doesn't matter who is calling you. When God has called you, brother, I mean, the thing will come to you. He was in the bush. His own father. This is not his uncle. Wicked Uncle Laban. This is his father. Didn't think to call him. Now Samuel goes from boy to boy, man to man. First one, God said, no, I rejected him. Next one, God said, no. Next one, God said, until they got to the last. God didn't even tell Samuel there's someone else. He didn't say anything like that. It was Samuel that asked Jesse, is there another person? I said, they say it's only one position and the GG's cousin is dead. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It was someone that asked, is there someone else? Jesse said, yes, there's one boy in the bush. Samuel said, we'll not sit down until he comes. Hey! I mean, what did David have? That the prophet Samuel is saying, we are not sitting until this guy comes. That same spirit that chose David is living inside of you today. He's the one that said you are a chosen generation. He's the one that said it. And the Bible says immediately David appeared. God said, this is he. This is the one. Anoint him. You are chosen. They might say, no, this person doesn't qualify. No. Anytime they want to choose something else, someone else, they'll find something that disqualifies that person. Once you enter, they say, this person. And that's you. That's you. That's you. Say, I'm highly favored. No wonder he said rejoice. Rejoice because all things are working. Rejoice because you are favored. Rejoice because you are chosen. You are God's choice. Speak in other tongues.